All right, turning your Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read today a couple of verses, actually four verses, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to bring a message today that will parallel today in terms of the weekend and Memorial Day. I want to read verses 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory." Now notice the word memory, if you keep in memory. "By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." I do want to call your attention, as I said earlier, to that word memory. Verse number 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, this morning, we thank You for this day that has been set aside, that we can assemble together in this local church and preach the gospel. We thank You, Father, particularly for this weekend, for what this day, actually for what tomorrow will commemorate. We thank You, our Father, today for those that have paid the supreme sacrifice of their own lives for the sake of the freedom of our country. And our Father, even though we see an erosion of those freedoms, we're still thankful that today we still can freely preach the gospel, and we still can, in a general way, have the freedom to do the things that we desire to do. But my Father, I do pray today for America. I pray, my Father, that there might be an awakening and a turning back to God. I do thank You today again for those that have died for our country. Thank You for the military veterans that are here today. And we know that every single one of us that served could be on the list of those that died for freedom, because we understand that the military is designed to fight. And when people fight, people die. So, Father, today we thank You for all the veterans. Now bless us now as we focus our attention upon the precious Word of God. Speak to our hearts today if there's someone here that does not know the loving Savior. May they be saved today and have the greatest freedom of all freedoms. Now, Lord, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. Of course, we all know that. We understand that Memorial Day is a day that has been marked off once a year, that America pays special tribute to those who died for the sake of freedom. Now, as we think of Memorial Day, we go back to April 1863. And I know that I've shared this several times in previous sermons on Memorial Day, of how a Southern mother was decorating the two graves of her sons that were killed in the Civil War. She moved across the cemetery. She places flowers on the graves of two Union soldiers who had also died. Someone questioned her. They said, "Why are you doing that? Those graves that you just placed flowers on are graves of Union soldiers." She said, "I know that." But she said, "The reason is simple." She said, "I know that also somewhere right now in the North, there's a mother, there's a wife, who mourns for them as we mourn for ours." And so Memorial Day goes back to that event. That loving deed on the part of that Southern mother set the motion for what has become Memorial Day. And we honor the dead once a year, but their sacrifice is evident every single day of the year. Every single day. We, of course, today honor those, even in this church service, we honor those that have fought for the cause of freedom. and particularly those that have died for the cost of freedom. We pay tribute to the war dead. That's what Memorial Day is. We pay tribute to the war dead. You understand, you've probably heard the statistics before, but I think this is an appropriate time to mention it. When we think of the war dead, we think of the various wars that our nation has been involved in. For example, the Revolutionary War. 25,324 people fell in battle during the Revolutionary War. The Civil War, 498,000. In fact, the Civil War resulted in the greatest amount of casualties than any other war that our country has been involved in. 498,332 casualties in the Civil War. That's hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to fathom how at that time, with the armaments of war as they were, so antiquated, if we compare that to what we have today, but yet to consider the casualty list, such a brutal war, brother against brother, I've never been able to understand the fervor behind the Civil War on the part of fellow Americans, basically, that were fighting each other. I can't comprehend that. But nevertheless, 498,332 fell in battlefields in the Civil War. World War I, 116,710 fell in battle in World War I. World War II, 407,316. The Korean War, 54,546. The First Gulf War, 293. The Iraqi War, 819. And that's not to count the many people since then that have died. I'm talking about we continue to be in war. We continually lose troops. There are continual casualties. So I don't even have the statistic on that to give you. But I'm saying this, when we think of Memorial Day, we salute, we pay tribute, we thank God many, many times for those that were willing to fight for this country, and many of them never returned home. As I said earlier, I salute equally every veteran, every one of you that's here today, because every veteran knows when you raise your hand to defend the Constitution of the United States, you also could become a casualty. Every single veteran is trained for war. Some had to go, some did not, but all were trained nevertheless, and any would have responded if called to go. So every veteran is equally as important, as significant, and as much worthy of honor as anyone that has fallen, because all veterans fall into that same category. Today, I've read a passage of Scripture that may not seem relevant. It may not seem to be the ideal, appropriate text for Memorial Day. But just stay with me. I believe that you will find that it is. I want to entitle this message this morning, The Memorial Day of the Ages. The Memorial Day of the Ages. I'm thinking of the greatest soldier who ever lived. I'm thinking of one who was indeed the greatest soldier that ever fought. None other than the commander-in-chief himself. This great soldier stepped onto the harsh battlefield one day. He took up arms. He entered the fight knowing that it would cost him everything. This soldier bravely entered the battlefield and won a great victory, but at a terrible price. This great soldier not only gave his life for the nation, but thank God he gave his life for humanity. The death of this soldier constitutes not simply an event, but a sacrifice. This soldier died for the greatest cause and proved by his resurrection that his death was one of a kind. And don't you thank God for that? His death was one of a kind. His death, burial, and resurrection is a stunning victory over sin, over death, over hell, and over the grave. This soldier's death is not memorialized. And now think about this for just a moment. This soldier's death is not memorialized by placing flowers on the National Cemetery at Arlington National Cemetery. This great soldier's death is not memorialized by placing flowers in a garden tomb in Jerusalem. And the reason is very obvious. This soldier's body is not in the ground. This soldier cannot be found upon this earth. Thank God his resurrection proves he paid sin's debt in full. He fought the greatest battle that's ever been fought. He won the greatest victory that's ever been won. I'm talking about the commander-in-chief of heaven and earth. Took care of sin's debt and paid in full sin's debt. Now, for every child of God, every day is Memorial Day. Every day. I'll go so far as to say this morning that not only for the child of God is every day Memorial Day, but every day, if I can use the term day, which will not be a day, it'll be everlasting ages, but throughout eternity, every moment of time, it's hard to compare time with eternity, of course, but throughout eternity, there will be a continual remembrance and a reminder of the day of victory when Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood. We never will ever forget that great day. It'll be a memorial day. It is a memorial day of the ages. Once a year, we have a memorial day commemorating those that have died for America. But I say today, when it comes to God's people, every day is Memorial Day commemorating not only the death, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those saved will never forget his sacrifice. Let me today give you a few simple practical points that I thought about as I prepared to preach today on this Memorial Weekend. You men that have served, you ladies that have served, I know Lori has served in the military. You all can identify to what I'm about to say because I'm pulling some illustrations from soldiering. And I use the word soldiering generically to describe all military service. Sometimes when we say soldier, we're talking about airmen. We're talking about the Navy. We're talking about all branches. So you understand where I'm going with this. Now, when we think about the sacrifice of this great soldier that I'm preaching about this morning, I think of some ways to illustrate his soldiering. Number one, we remember this soldier's clothing. Now follow me for just a moment. We remember this soldier's clothing. I remember the first time I got off of a bus at Parris Island, South Carolina, got rid of my civilian clothes, shipped them home, and put on a military uniform that I would wear the rest of the time that I was there at that boot camp. I remember how, at that point in time, my civilian clothing became insignificant. They were sent home. It's now wearing the military uniform, and everybody knows what I'm talking about here. You folks that have served. Could you imagine a soldier serving in the military wearing what you wanted to wear? Why is it called uniform? Even to this day, I have not gotten over. Let me make sure I get it right for you. Okay. To this day, I still can remember aspect of wearing uniform that I received, it was in boot camp, the shirt. You'll notice the crease right down, right on down through the pockets. I remember that, and I still dress that way today. I have a gut I didn't have back then. But that's par for the course. But uniform, civilian clothing, no longer significant, military uniform is. Now I think today of this great commander on high's new uniform. I think about how the Bible says God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God manifest in the flesh. This commander now wears a human uniform. This commander wears humanity, a body of flesh. He comes to this earth. He's now clothed in a body of humanity. This great soldier, this commander. Something else I'm reminded of, he changed addresses. Like every soldier who has ever served in the armed forces, when Jesus came to this earth, he left his home that he had from all eternity, where he lived in heaven. We said goodbye to home when we went off to serve the country. We said goodbye. We knew what homesickness would be. Back in those days, we had to write letters. We didn't have cell phones. And if we had if the Marine Corps kept up its standards, you still wouldn't be permitted to have one in the barracks or in the squad bay, we called it. So we changed addresses. Our address now is a military base address. Jesus changed addresses. He left heaven. He came to this earth. He's no longer there among the angels. He's no longer there with the Father. He's on this earth. He changes addresses. He wore a new uniform. New uniform. And I've already talked about that, so I don't need to go into that any longer. He willingly came to this earth. Earthly uniform now he wears. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's Philippians chapter 2. He wears a new uniform. We remember this soldier's credentials. We remember he changed his uniform. He changed his address. But I'll tell you something. He's got some credentials. I'm talking about the Lord of glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Preached among the Gentiles. Believed on the world. Received up into glory. His credentials. He displays the purple heart of combat. You think about it. Jesus fought. Jesus did battle. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I believe, in a sense, the Son of God will display the purple heart of those wounds forever. They'll see those scars in his hands. They'll see where the crown pierced his brow. He wears that eternal purple heart, as it were, conveying the fact that he died for sinners. This soldier displays a purple heart. Visible scars. I tell you, it's hard to believe this, isn't it? But I believe that in heaven right now, the Son of God is enthroned, but he's wearing visible scars. He's showing signs where he's upon this earth. You can still see the scars. You can still see where the crown was. He will display that purple heart of distinction throughout eternity, again conveying the fact he was wounded for our transgressions. The great commander. The great soldier. He was seen of angels. Now his credentials were clear. I'll tell you something. He distinguished himself in battle. He was awarded by the Father. His credentials were clear. The angels watched him. I believe they watched as he was born. The angels were there when Christ came, weren't they? Host of the heavenly hosts praising God in the highest, saying glory to God in the highest. They watched him as he was born. They watched him as he lived every day. Those angels watched him. They saw his credentials. I believe they watched with their hands on the hilts of their swords as he died. Because the Bible lets us know he could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have. When he died, Jesus could have summoned the angels. But he didn't. I'm glad he didn't, aren't you? I'm glad he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm glad he didn't hold back. He shed his blood to redeem us from our sins and to make it possible to be saved. Listen, because Jesus paid it all to him we owe. That means that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is a real possibility. God doesn't give blank promises. The Lord doesn't say something and not mean it. I'm telling you this morning, because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary, every promise in the Bible, you can take it to the bank. I don't care how far sin may have taken you, it may have made a wreck of your life. You might be here this morning thinking that there is no hope for you. Maybe you're thinking, I've blown it for sure. Maybe it's a drug background. Maybe it's an alcohol addiction. Maybe it's some other sin that's destroyed you. Maybe you've been beat, abused. Maybe you're suffering from a poor self-image. You're thinking that no one cares, no one loves you, there's no hope. I've gone too far. I want to tell you this morning, just as surely as that prodigal, by the grace of God, got home from the far country, you can get home from the far country this morning. You can't travel so far away from God, but what God doesn't still love you? And you can still be sought out and found. Why? Because this great soldier made a good payment. All of us today, we can thank God for military people. And I consider this to be a very military-minded and a patriotic church. And I thank God for that. But to tell you something, every person that served our military for the cause of physical freedom, they can be commended. But I'm so thankful today that this great soldier of all soldiers took care of a problem that provides freedom above all freedom. Freedom more important than physical freedom. Nations rise and fall. Armies rise and fall. Empires rise and fall. But oh, thank God today, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a part of a kingdom that will last forever. You're connected to one who'll never lose his power. You have the freedom of a soul set free. I'd rather be, quite frankly, I mean this, I'd rather live in communist China and know God and know that I have the freedom of a soul set free with tyranny all around me and bondage brought on by that government being a part of the system, and yet know that I got a home in heaven when I die, than to live in America with all of our freedoms but still lack the freedom of a soul set free. The greatest need today is to come to Christ to be saved, to know the Lord, and to know about this great commander, this soldier that I've been talking about. We remember this soldier's conquest, don't we? He arose. He went back to glory. Thank God you'll never, I said this earlier, I don't mean to keep repeating myself, but you'll never have to place a wreath where he was, because he's not there. He's gone. He arose and went back to glory after accomplishing his earthly mission. Jesus, as we know, ascended back to his heavenly home. And when we see him in glory, we're going to see him in a body. We're going to see his hands. We're going to see his feet. We're going to see his side. We're going to see marks that he achieved when he was upon this earth. And oh, I love to tell people about the fact that when he got back to heaven, he did something unique. He sat down, thank God. He took a seat. Now, when you read the Bible, you'll know, if you compare it to the Old Testament, the high priest of Israel never sat down, did he? And I know this is old hat here for many of you. We've preached this many times. But the high priest never had the privilege of sitting down because he had to keep going back year after year, year after year. But oh, thank God, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of his Father, as much to say, it's done. I'll never have to come back to this earth. I'll never have to die again. Because by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Took one offering. The high priest never saw the day that the offering ceased. But Jesus, as a great high priest of heaven, he took care of that sin problem once and for all. And I say once and for all, old brother, believe it. Once and for all, old sinner, receive it. Once and for all. Now, over 1.1 million men and women have died to guarantee our freedom as Americans. They gave their all. They gave their lives. You find American troops buried over in France. You find them in Germany. You find them in England. And I believe this. I believe that a troop returning home deserves a hero's welcome, don't you? They deserve it. A hero coming home deserves a hero's welcome. I somehow believe this. I believe that when this great hero we're talking about went back to heaven, I believe there was a victory celebration of glory. I believe the angels must have lined the streets of gold, praising and rejoicing the fact that the hero now comes home. There's a lot about my country that I don't appreciate. One thing in particular I don't appreciate, I don't appreciate, though there's the freedom of expression, and though people have a right to demonstrate, that right we know is given us. I can't understand this. I can understand how some can demonstrate against war, but I will never understand how anyone can demonstrate against warriors. It's one thing to say I'm against the war, but it's another thing to say I'm against the warrior. I believe politicians, the president at that time, and myriads of other people owe an apology to the many, especially of the Vietnam era, that came home and couldn't even have the liberty to wear their uniform because of the threats. What a tragedy! I tell you, my heart goes out to, especially as I think of veterans, as I see our Vietnam veterans, how they were treated. They deserve a hero's welcome and a hero's commendation. I'll never forget. I should have gone to Vietnam myself. Our unit was scheduled to go. It's one I didn't go. But I can remember one of the guys that I knew at that time went to Vietnam, came back home. I can still remember him telling me this. He was quite a fighter anyway. He came back and went to the VA. And somebody behind the counter made a comment. That's just like you Vietnam veterans. You're always trying to get something. And this guy climbed the desk. And I salute him. That bunch of white shirt people sitting behind the desk that know nothing about combat have no right. In fact, to be quite honest with you, I might be treading on ground that's not too good ground. But I think every president of the United States ought to have prior military service myself. Because if you're a commander-in-chief, you ought to be able to identify with what it is to be military. But a hero's welcome. But this greatest soldier who ever lived, he paid the price. He gave the sacrifice, and he rose again to say, it's been done. It's been done. No wonder, and I'll be through here, no wonder Paul said, by which also we are saved, if we keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And then he gives the gospel, for I delivered unto you first of all. And I'll tell you, that's the priority, first of all. That's all. Let's remember something. The priority of preaching, the first of all message, is the gospel message. First of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's why you'll never place a wreath on the grave where he was, because he's not there. Yes, that's the great commander. That's the soldier of all soldiers. He wins the award to me. And I'm glad today that I know where I'm going, because there was a time in my life I had enough Holy Spirit of God conviction sense to realize I was a sinner heading straight to hell, and I needed the Lord, and I trusted him. I was proud of the years that I had the privilege of wearing a military uniform. I was proud of those years. Many times I'll reflect and I'll look at some of those pictures, but there's something that I'm more grateful for than that. I'm thankful to be wearing a uniform all because of grace, called the righteousness of Christ applied. There came a time I had to take off my military uniform and put it in the closet, because my time was through in the military. But oh, thank God, I'll never take this uniform off that God gave me. I'll wear it forever. And I never, as an American citizen, have ever had the freedom and the liberty by serving this country that I have by serving my Savior and knowing my God. To me, that's what it's all about. I salute our veterans today, but I especially salute him who is the veteran of all veterans. Let's bow our heads in prayer.